honestly, my initial go-to thing, because I was not raised in a clean home, mm-hmm. is not to clean up, right? Mm-hmm. My initial go-to thing is to not even barely see the mess at all. But I have learned to be a better partner slash husband, and I think that he can too.
Yeah.
It's just about...
I think so too.
Yeah, it's
I don't think you should break up.
I don't think you should break
no,
up.
No.
I think you should... Mark, hit the makeup button.
Makeup! Hello and welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo.
Hello, everybody.
Who are you?
My name is Steve Green.
Oh, okay, good. I wasn't sure for a second if you remembered.
I do.
Oh, good. Okay, cool. Well, today we're going to answer some of your questions that you have submitted unto us. Just a reminder, we are not experts, okay? This is for entertainment purposes only. If our advice happens to help you, good for you.
Especially if it helps you break up. Hit the
break up button,
Mark.
Break up.
That's what the show's about.
But if not, like, we're not liable for anything at all. So yeah. Just don't come for us. In fact, I wanted to start this episode with a submission that is titled not a question, just a big thank you / STDTY success story.
I'll allow it.
Okay. Well, hello, Marissa Martinez. It starts off, it says, hello. First off, love the podcast. You guys are amazing. Oh my God, thank you so much. I don't have a question. I actually just wanted to say thank you and have a Shit They Don't Tell You success story. A little over a year ago, I reached out about staying broken up with my ex, and what y'all said really gave me the reassurance I needed that he truly was a piece of shit. And in just a little over a year since breaking up with him, I went from unemployed, broke, couch hopping, and just overall distressed with my family issues to having my own apartment, a stable job, which I got the news... She got the news for this the day that she blocked his ass. She got a job that pays her bills, and I finally have my own cat. All things that had been on my vision board at least 3 years before now, and I even started losing weight, which I had been struggling to do for several years. Everyone, when in doubt, break up.
Hit the button, Mark.
Break up.
That's what this show's about.
She says, thanks again. You guys are great. But she put that in all caps. She's like, everyone, and then when in doubt, break up.
Listen, okay. Look at me. What's your name?
Marissa.
You look at me, and if you're not looking at it because you're listening to it, please also watch the YouTube portion so that you can look at me right now.
Look into his eyeballs.
All the success you just had is because of us. We did this, okay? The weight loss, the
happiness. It was all us.
The new job. It was all us, and you better fucking tell at least 3 people about this show.
And rate it 5 stars.
Because you owe us big.
Huge time.
Yeah, come on,
and
man.
Send us a commission for your job, for the, all the percentage of your job.
Send us a tithe,
yes.
As they say in the
no,
the
but
churches.
Seriously, slap it high, Marissa.
Good for you.
That's
girl.
All you. That's all you. That's all you, girl.
That's the thing, man. You just need the little push that you need in the right
I think
direction.
Most people just need that little
that's
push.
That's it. Everybody's got the power,
you
kinda man.
You kind of know inside of you, and like if someone's telling you something and you don't feel it, like obviously don't do it. But if you're like, I just needed that little push. Follow your gut, man.
That's it, dude. But that's I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah, me too. Good job.
It's because when you have this negative force around you, I swear, it sounds woo-woo as shit, but you just attract negative shit.
Yeah, it's true.
So you just keep getting confirmation bias that your life sucks.
And then the more your life sucks, the more you are like, yep,
yeah,
see,
my life sucks. See?
See?
Look.
Life
oh,
sucks.
Look. Evidence.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was awesome. Continuing to our first question. This one's titled, need help constructively criticizing my husband. I don't know if I can help you with this one, but
we can move on.
We'll try. Hi, Nikki and Steve. First off, love your podcast. Love you two so much as a couple. Aw, thank you. I've been watching your channels, Nikki, for so many years and really relate to how you two can be so different but resolve your differences and come together to be such a good balance. Your advice is always helpful, and I'm hoping hearing both your perspectives on my question will help me to navigate my issue more successfully. And I like that.
Love it, and thank you for watching my channel as well.
You haven't posted on your channel.
She's like, I watch Nikki's channels. No, it's funny.
You don't post.
I know, it's funny.
Give the people something
it's
to watch.
It's funny. I will.
You know, he has a show supposedly coming soon.
Called
coming
Ass
soon.
Lords.
Last
Ass
January.
Ass Lords. Well, COVID kind of fucked it up.
January 2020.
Excuse me, COVID fucked it up, but it's yeah, Ass Lords coming soon.
All right. So back to her question. Yeah. To the point, if I ask my husband to do things a certain way and explain why, he'll do it once right then in the moment, but then never again. So I have to ask him again to do it differently, and then he feels overly criticized and gets upset.
Okay, been there.
Or other times, I've just stopped asking him to do it differently and just fixed it myself later. Oh, I've been there too. Obviously, that's not an ideal long-term solution because I'm starting to get resentful, just the tiniest bit. Nikki, you've mentioned a few times on your vlogs facing this very thing with Steve, in parentheses, washing dishes correctly, making the bed,
yes.
Cutting tomatoes for taco yes. night holding, are the ones to
holding
come.
Forks now.
That's the most recent one.
Fuck's sake.
I don't, you know what? I'm all about independence. Hold the fork however you want it. It's just.
You swear?
I swear.
Last night you told me that it made you feel like I was a little boy.
Well, it does. So
fuck
you can
that,
choose
then.
To.
I'm never eating with a fork
I'm
again
just
is
letting
my
you
solution.
Know my thoughts.
Because I ate the same goddamn way with a fork for 35 years. And if you think I'm about to change that, you're out of your mind. So we'll tell you what I'll do. I'll start drinking through a fucking straw.
Just so you know, if you're watching on YouTube, he holds his fork like this and he eats it like a caveman. Well, you can watch any Tasty Tuesday video, you can see.
Yeah, caveman is not a little boy. Okay. Caveman happens to be a very aggressive figure.
Well, in my mind, in that moment last night, you looked like a toddler in a high chair.
What kind of toddler eats a taco salad? That's pretty hard for them to swallow.
Well, it's like most people eat it in the shell, like a taco, but you had to scoop up the remains with a spoon.
No, because the shells broke because you dropped two tacos in the oven, and then I had to break up the
what?
Shells. You dropped two taco shells on the oven.
What? I didn't drop two taco shells.
You dropped two taco
shells.
Oh,
I left them there. I didn't drop them.
But who puts them on the dirty, dirty oven like that?
Well, I thought the four were for me, and then I left the other two that I wasn't going to eat.
You sure did. And then I broke
you
them
ate
up.
Them?
Yeah.
Does breaking them up get rid of the oven debris?
No, but I broke them up.
Okay.
And I made a taco salad.
Anyway, back to her question. Jeez. I'm trying to hijack this question, defending your fork holding mechanism.
Yeah.
Okay. So, question is, how do you approach that conversation with him without sounding like you're attacking him or being too nitpicky just because that's the way you like it done? My big issue is my partner puts the Tupperware back with the lids on, and then he stacks them all randomly on top of each other. This leads to us having less space for them compared to if he nested the containers together and snapped the lids together. Oh my God, that would drive me nuts.
This poor man.
Like they're designed to do that.
He's just stacking containers.
No, but he's stacking them with the empty air in there instead of condensing the space and sacking them together.
I have to see it.
Okay, so
understand.
Like he has the lid on one.
Okay.
So it's like this. And then the whole bowl has to go on the next one. And the whole bowl has to go on the next one.
Right.
Instead of stacking the bowls inside of each other.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
That makes sense.
And then the lids all separately.
But why wouldn't you? Wait. He's storing. Oh, he's not storing food.
No, no, no.
Oh, so
the
empty.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the empties. So
okay, that's pretty ridiculous.
Ridiculous. So what if you were married to that man? Like how do you approach that? Because you don't want to insult their intelligence.
Okay, let me help you out.
Let me just finish really quick. So that's just one thing, but there's a few other little things like this. They're annoying as hell collectively. I've tried to point out why I prefer a different way of cleaning or organizing, but it's just not sticking. I feel like my approach is off, and instead of showing him a more optimized way of doing things, he feels criticized when I correct him while he's trying to contribute. Thanks so much, and keep breaking that ice, man.
Susan. She's the ice, ma'am, okay? Okay, so first of all, here's something that maybe my wife could understand.
Okay, I would
and
love
that
to
you
hear
can
it.
Understand at the same time.
Okay, I'm getting this advice with you, Susan.
If you could just take this piece of advice,
okay,
my life would improve.
I would love that. I'd love
this. By like 35%.
How come you've never voiced this before?
I have.
Oh, okay. Well, now you're
just,
nagging.
No, hold on. Just be nice about it. That's it.
Okay.
Just be nice about it. Sometimes you got all kinds of things going on, all this shit in your head, whatever, that's fine, right? And so you're like, well, I'm not capable of being nice about it 100% of the time.
I feel like I've been pretty nice about it. Can you like tell me how I've not been nice about it? Because I feel like I'm overly aware of not wanting to criticize you when you're helping out.
Yes.
And so that's why I usually just correct it myself afterwards. But like,
I think you've been fine lately, though.
Okay.
I'm talking about like
before.
Yeah, before. Like I feel like once I gave you that note, like be nicer about it. You have been nicer about it. Like just being nice.
Mm-hmm.
In the moment, because
what do you consider mean?
Just like you did it again. Like and it's
wait,
like,
I did.
Oh,
I said that. Like I said it like that.
Well, yeah, when I used to wash the dishes a certain way, you're like, you know, you get frustrated initially because you see it.
Right. Okay. Because like, that was wasting soap, and then we'd have to get dish soap so much because you. So the dishwasher. We've talked about this before, but he would dump the soap on each individual dish. Like each dish got the amount of soap that like normally you would put on a sponge and then clean several dishes with. So yeah, I was not I didn't feel like I was mean, but I was like, we would have this conversation and then you'd be like, okay, I'm going to do it like that from now on. And then you would do it the other way when you thought I wasn't looking.
So listen,
more the trickiness of it.
No, listen. I'm a very stubborn man.
Yes.
And once I have decided, I'm like, I clean dishes like this.
Right.
Then it becomes like I put a flag down and I'm saying like, no, you know what? You cannot fucking tell me how to I clean a dish.
Right. So you
would. Eventually,
uh-huh,
I saw things your way. I started to soap the sponge, as you like to put it.
Yes.
I soap the sponge now, do I not?
You do. So when you were saying mean, I don't think I was being mean because...
But it doesn't reach me.
Okay, so we had this conversation and then you're like, I'm going to do it like this from now on. And then you don't, and you don't purposely because inside your head, yeah, you decided,
exactly,
like,
right,
fuck that, I'm doing, yes, it the way I want to, yes, do it, right? So I wasn't getting frustrated at you doing it that way again. I was getting frustrated that we already, you seemed to have the agreement and we were on the same page, and then you were like doing an act of defiance or whatever. Like, yeah, it just was like, that seems more mean to
I
me.
I was standing up for men everywhere in my kitchen, okay? No, but right, look. Yeah, no
so
doubt.
So it was like that principle less so than the dishes.
Of course. Yeah. It's not about the fucking dishes.
It's not about the dishes.
It's never about the dishes.
No.
It's never about the Tupperware, right? It's about just feeling like, you know, you're an adult person, you're doing adult things, and then somebody's, yeah, treating you temporarily like you're not one.
You want autonomy.
And then you're kind of like, what the fuck? Like, I'm just trying to help out, do the right,
right,
thing.
Right, but so we're both aware of that, me and
so
Susan,
just
here.
Being nice about it, though, is everything.
So sometimes I feel like I am being nice because I'm overly aware, like I'm almost like tiptoeing around it. Okay. But you, because it's a slight against your ego or against whatever you've decided.
Help.
Right, right. But like you get very defensive and almost feel like you're projecting that I'm being mean to you when I'm like, I'm not being mean. I'm like trying to be so careful.
Well, I have to say that you did not used to do it like that, mm-hmm, but I feel that you do now.
Was this when we were getting in fights about you scratching the Teflon on my nonstick pans?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, all that shit.
Yeah, so...
All that shit.
So it wasn't about the Teflon pans. It was
that... Of course
not. It was my stuff and you were disrespecting it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so I wasn't very nice about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I wasn't nice to do that to your stuff.
Right.
So, but I wasn't looking at it like that. I was just, yeah, using it like I was just using a pan.
So, but these... I feel like this is... That's different because... That was more, we got to the root of that issue was about respect and stuff. And so the communication has been much
but
better.
But here's the thing. He's not going to change. He says he's going to change, right?
Yeah.
But the underlying issue is not being addressed.
I think this one is more like when you would make the bed wrong. Like where like it's not a thing that like hurts me in any way. Like the like that.
Well, no, but she says it's getting to the point where she's starting to, what was the word?
Have the tiniest bit of resentment.
Resent,
yeah.
Right. So I think it is pretty serious as far as you don't want to resent your partner.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that this should be addressed in more of a big boy way.
Yeah.
Than like this is about the Tupperware because it's not about the Tupperware.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it isn't about the Tupperware. It's about you guys. You don't feel like you guys are on the same page. I feel like I'm trying to put myself in her shoes about, yeah, the Tupperware, right?
Me too.
And the only reason that's different than the bed is because with the Tupperware situation, I am inhibited from storing more things in the drawers, which I know I could be, and then I have to reorganize it, and it takes time
I
out
get
of my
it.
Day.
Listen, let me help you out.
No, we're both on the same page here.
Yeah, no, I know. But I'm saying to this chick.
Okay.
Okay. If you left... this alone, if this guy was living on his own, that Tupperware would just be thrown into a fucking,
yeah,
cabinet. Okay.
Yeah.
So to him,
he's trying
his ass off by, he's like, oh, you know what?
Yeah.
I know my chick wants it like stacked. Okay. I'm gonna stack it. Right. And then when he doesn't just chuck the Tupperware in there and close the cabinet.
Right.
And then like if you, next time you open it, maybe it falls out. He's like, no, I'm doing the big boy shit. And then when he does that even, he gets slighted a little bit.
Right, which is she's acknowledging that.
Right.
She's like, he's trying to contribute. He's trying to do a good job. So she doesn't want to feel like the bad guy here, like continuously bringing it up. But it's just
but
like.
But here's what you started to do is the miracle to the situation.
Okay.
You would go, baby, I know you're trying to help me out.
Mm.
I I love that you are trying to help me out, all that stuff. And then you get to your thing. You just soften the blow a little bit.
Okay, okay.
You know what I mean?
So you just have some understanding first.
That's it. That's all it is. Just being nice a little bit before you drop the fucking hammer that you want to drop.
Okay. We don't want to drop it is the thing.
But as far as we
get no joy off correcting you or anything. It's just that like...
No. I'm saying that you just want to correct the situation. Right. So you're like, I want to drop this knowledge. And so, you know,
I think the resent does not come from that. It comes from her not wanting to feel like the bad guy all the time for just bringing up something that she thought that he understood over and over again.
Of course.
Yeah.
And he acknowledged it and he's being stubborn because for him, he's like, I feel like I'm not being seen as that helpful, you know, right. And I get that too. That sucks to feel like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it sucks on both sides, but they got to get to the root of it.
It's like, I'm just projecting here with Susan, because we do respect you. Like, we respect that our partner is an intelligent person. They're a good person. They want to help. We respect all of that, and that's why we're with you. And so we don't want to feel like we're insulting your intelligence or something because you can't seem to remember to do it the same way, you know? So it sucks because it's like, man, like, how do I word this in a way that, like, I don't want him to feel like I don't value him or value his contributions. I just wish that he would understand why I like it that way. That, like, why it is more efficient to do it that way and why it's way more helpful to do it that way.
One thing that you do, though, that is, like, legendary, right, and is, like, if I'm doing the dishes or something or, like which I do all the time. I help around the house
all
the time.
Yeah, you do. You're really helpful.
You give me love for it.
Yeah. You know? Well, it's sexy.
And it's not transactional. You actually like it.
I do.
Right? Like, you're not just doing it because it's whatever. Like, you actually
You were washing dishes this morning. I came out and made out with you because that's sexy as hell.
That was hard as hell as well.
And you washed them the right way with the on the sponge.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, that's all. It's just, like, I look forward to doing housework for this woman because she makes it so rewarding. And not look, do I want to do housework anyway? Because when I see a mess, I want to clean it up. Yeah. But honestly, my initial go-to thing, because I was not raised in a clean home, is not to clean up, right? Mm-hmm. My initial go-to thing is to not even barely see the mess at all. But I have learned to be a better partner / husband. And I think that he can too.
Yeah.
It's just about...
I think so, too.
Yeah, it's...
I don't think you should break up.
I don't think you should break
no,
up.
No.
I think you should... Mark, hit the makeup button.
Makeup! Yeah, so maybe just soften the approach, like Steve was saying.
Yeah, that's it. I think that would help so much, because that really is just... It's that whole thing where you think you did the right thing, and then you hear, like, ugh... And then you're like, oh, man, fuck.
Well, she's trying to conceal it, too. Like, sometimes she's like, I don't want to make him feel bad, so I'm just going to do it later the way I want to do it. There's still one thing that you do that it doesn't piss me off.
Okay,
let's
go. I'm ready.
It's just a kind
myself.
Of eye roll every time where I'm like,
I'm ready.
I'm not going to bring it up again. I'm not going to bring it up again. But I can fix it almost every single day.
Lids?
No.
Okay.
So in the dishwasher. I tell you.
Oh, the coffee cups.
The coffee cups go on the outside because that's where the handles fit.
Okay.
The cups go on the inside because they don't have handles.
I'll just be completely honest with you.
Okay. You switch it
I
all the time.
It in my head.
All the time. Yeah.
I was like, the coffee cups, where do they go? And I was like, don't ask her, Steve. You don't need to ask her. That will project that you don't remember. And then you didn't listen to her. So I was like, okay, the coffee cups. Don't put it on the outside because then because that's where the handles.
I'm in your mind when I see this. I'm like, he got it switched because, like, he's consistently.
I switched it and I didn't want to ask. I didn't want to ask because I didn't want it to seem like I didn't hear you, even though I was listening to you very intently.
We like being asked, though. It's that I'd rather have an ask than a constantly. I don't want to bring it up, and I'll just deal with it on my own.
So, if you could please.
Yes.
Explain to me how the coffee cup handles on the outside thing work.
So in our particular dishwasher, and maybe it's not like this for all models, but our particular one, the outside cup thing is wider than the inside cup thing. And the coffee mugs are wider and they have handles that go in between the little spiky things that are sticking up.
Yes.
They fit nicely right in between there. So and it holds the width of the coffee mug.
Is it towards the wall? Of the dishwasher or towards
the
middle?
The spikies. The handle?
Yeah, the handle goes towards the wall of the dishwasher or the spikies?
Towards the spikies, because it fits within those little, the spikies can hold them.
I thought it doesn't make sense to put it on the outside because the handle will hit the wall.
Yeah, and I was like, they point inside.
She said inside. That's literally what happened.
You're so cute. Can I just say, you're so pretty.
Hey, I love you. You're pretty. So, no, that's what happened. There you go, folks.
Yeah, there you go.
By the way, I made the bed like a motherfucking
champ. I was very impressed. Like, your bed making skills are fucking sick.
You know what I'm saying?
I know I don't have to redo it at all. And that was another thing that where I was like, I don't know.
That's a little update for all the haters watching. Oh, I got all these fucking haters watching from YouTube.com/Nikki being like, oh, Steve Green can't make that bed. I'm like, oh, no.
I'll vlog it the next time he makes the bed because it is immaculate. Much better. It's much better. It's great.
Bravissimo.
That's what it is. Great. Okay, next question. I hope that helps, Susan.
Good luck.
Soften the blow. Let us know how it goes. Overcoming the first year hurdle. This is the name of the topic. Okay. Hey, Nikki and Steve. I know you get this in every letter, but I love the podcast and all the insight and comedy you bring. Aw. We love you. Thank it you. Doesn't get old. It does and not get old. We need you. All the validation we
really
get.
Do. We're glass houses. Thank you.
I know you two have talked about the difficulties of your first year as a couple, and I'm experiencing something similar for myself. For context, I'm a early 20s female, and I started dating my current partner within the last year. But the kicker is, less than half a year into the relationship, we started living together due to the pandemic. We both knew it would be temporary, and the first couple months were just pure bliss. But due to being stuck at the hip from morning to night in a small apartment for months on end, we started having a lot of bad fights. My question for you is, how did you both know the relationship was worth pushing through the difficulties of the first year, especially when it feels like a lot of the conflict is due to circumstances, living situation, and my personal declining mental health because of the world going to crap? How did you know what kind of fights constituted crossing a boundary and what were two people struggling to understand each other through a tough time in your/our lives? We both want to make this work, and in this time, you guys have come to my mind a lot because your story feels familiar. Thank you for your future words of wisdom, Anonymous.
So, what a perfect question after the last one. Like, we're two hurting people who were just trying to work out our past shit from our old relationships on each other, right? And so it wasn't about the dishes. It wasn't about the fucking toothbrush that you threw away of mine, or like all the. It wasn't about any of that shit. It was about our pasts and dealing with them in the moment. And so, what made us try to stick it out with each other is because I think we kind of knew that we weren't really fighting each other. And we would get to the core of these issues. It would take some time, but we'd get to the core of these issues. And I never thought my quarrel was with you particularly. I always had this like deep down knowledge that it was really about me.
Yeah, I guess so. Because I can't, it's hard for me to put myself back into that first year and that mentality. I do remember feeling like it was you, like being like
in the moment, sure.
Yeah, being like, I'm done, you know, or whatever. I never said I'm done.
He said it famously.
But
I dumped this bitch.
But I was just like, I definitely felt slighted by you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I don't know how to explain it, but like, yeah, I guess deep down, I knew that it wasn't about whatever it was about.
Also,
like, it wasn't about the...
Yeah, and also, too, I, like, was in love with you very early.
Yeah,
like,
same.
Within days.
Same.
Like, that first date.
I said I love you first.
Yeah, so, right, so the first date. And so, and I'm a very loyal person.
The first date, I texted my friends. I was like, do you want chicken or veggies at the wedding?
Exactly. And so I knew that I felt that way, and that never went away, even when I told you I was breaking up with you or whatever fucking bullshit, which I never did again, obviously. Yeah. But that was when I actually was like, oh, my God, like I think I'm going to marry this chick. I mean, I already knew I was going to do that, but I was like, man, this is really, I really do love her. I really will never walk away from an argument with her ever again. I haven't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really just about, what are you actually arguing about? Are you really mad at the person? Are you mad at some other shit?
Yeah, and it sounds like deep down, this person, Anonymous, knows that it's not about the person.
I think so.
Or her partner.
Sounds like circumstantial. Hey, we were thrown together. Partner. There's a lot of pressure around us. The world's going to shit.
Yeah.
Like, I'm worried about all this other stuff.
I think that's really what it is. It's like, is it you? Is it the way this person is treating you? Because those things can be solved too. Like, you know, like earlier Steve said, soften your approach, right? Because that was really what was setting him off, yeah. was the approach and feeling like I was attacking him. So it wasn't about the issue. And if it's about something that was I could fix, like I could fix that behavior because I care about this person.
Yeah.
So as long as you both care about each other and you both want it to work out and you both can recognize that you are on the same team, I think that's super important.
That's so big.
Just knowing that you and your partner are on the same team, you are not enemies.
Yeah.
So therefore, you both want to reach a common goal, which is to resolve the issues and to prevent further fights on that same issue, you know, prevent recurring fights. So getting to the root of what is actually, if you can try to do this at your next fight, like if you have another fight, try to like separate yourself almost from being in
the fight.
Try to
debate yourself.
Yeah. Try to debate yourself and try to really understand what exactly is setting the other person off. Is it because they're washing the dish wrong, or is it because they don't like being told what to do? You know,
if you can push through this part, like, and you get, and it's like all green lights from here, I promise you, not only will you have a long lasting relationship, but you'll create an ally. Like, where,
yeah,
I know Nikki so well and in such a deep way that I know if anyone in any room was ever talking shit on me, she would fucking launch.
Yeah.
And vice versa. So no matter what, even if they're saying shit that I agree with about Nikki, if they were attacking you in any way, you know I would fucking be all over that shit. And I know you would too. And so that's what these days are about, right? Is about plugging those holes and accepting your person, flaws and all,
mm-hmm.
so that when the outside forces come in, you have their fucking back.
Right.
And because of these days and these moments that you're in, you're going to be a stronger warrior on the battlefield for your person.
Yes, exactly. And also, you'll create systems of communication. Like, every person's different, and you have like almost a different language with that person. So learning your partner and the way that they communicate and their specific triggers and things that like set them off and stuff, you guys will like have this we'll build this understanding that you're on the same team, and therefore you're just trying to figure out like the system. You're trying to figure out like, oh, is it because of this trigger that happened? You know, like you'll get to understand each other's style of communication.
Exactly.
And then once you start speaking the same language, fights become way more easier. They don't become escalated.
No.
They become more of like a, oh, what's going on here? Let's get to the root of it, yes. You know?
And they can even be passionate sometimes, yeah. right? But you're still communicating in a way that's more like logic.
Yes.
And less like
and
yelly.
More based off of what you understand your partner's style to be.
Yeah.
Anytime we've had a recent argument or anything got heated, we've never had that issue before. So we have to figure out, you know, a new system, like a new communication.
Yeah, right.
The part that's missing in the communication.
Exactly.
We're both like kind of searching for that part that's missing.
The whole time. Once we find it, we're like, okay.
You were like, oh, it's
But
not.
We have to agree because sometimes, you know, we don't fully agree on what it is. And then we kind of circle back to it.
And yeah.
Talk
and sometimes it takes like a day to like sit on it.
Yeah.
Like we present all our points and we still don't fully agree on what it is.
Or maybe we kind of do, but then the next morning it's like, nah, that wasn't it.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh shit, okay.
Yeah.
And then
like
we
there's
crack
some
in
lingering
again.
Things still.
Yeah.
You'll know when it's resolved when like a feeling of tension is relieved.
It's just gone. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just all of a sudden happens, and I don't know. Me and Nikki
like,
are very feeling.
That was it.
We're very intuitive.
Yeah.
But you can honestly just feel it leave your body almost.
Mm-hmm.
Is how it feels.
And you're like, oh shit, that was it. And so the next time that comes up, you know, like maybe you have to remind them, like, oh yeah, I remember it was like this other time, and it's like, oh yeah, it was because of this, right? And
yep.
then you both remember, and you are like, oh yeah, that's dumb. I'm sorry, I didn't mean. It makes apologies easier too.
Oh yeah.
Because if we've determined like, oh, it's because of this, and then one person crosses that line, it's like, oh, it was this thing that we fought about before, and then the person's like, oh shit, sorry.
I can point to dozens of moments of little mistakes that I've made, that Nikki's made, mostly that I've made.
That, me too.
But yeah, I was kidding. But but that were mistakes.
Yeah.
And that have made me a much stronger partner as a result of understanding that mistake.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like Nikki needs to leave by midnight or she falls asleep and like you feel embarrassed when you fall asleep and it's not like, you know, I can just keep on having fun with friends. It's like, no, I get Nikki out of there so she doesn't feel embarrassed, and I didn't know that. And so it's shit like that where now if you're falling asleep, I got you the fuck out of the door.
Yeah, it helps you have your partner's back.
Exactly. I just became a better warrior for her.
Yeah, which then builds trust, and then it makes me feel like, oh, I can, my partner has my back. And then the next time we get in an argument, I don't immediately assume that they're my enemy. I assume that they have my back, and they, and then we're both on the same team.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. On that note, we have a short break, and then we'll be right back.
After these words from our sponsors.
Hopefully. Please let us have sponsors.
Fingers crossed.
Hopefully we have sponsors.
Oh my God.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to, like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Like, listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're, like, kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark. Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Huge. Thank you for supporting the show.
All right. And we are back. And this topic I just had to click on. It's not a relationship question. It is titled, Risky Career Choice. I Want to Fight in a Cage.
Yes.
Smiley face.
Do it.
Hey, Nikki and Steve. I love your podcast and advice. Thank you so much. How do you know if you should follow a career path or not? I believe that anything worth having will require hard work and sacrifice. I also believe in the quote, sacrifice for the unknown, because if an award is guaranteed, then everyone will work hard. The fact that there are no guarantees separate the successful people from those who give up and fail. I agree with that.
That's true.
Being passionate about a career path that is risky, in my opinion, can also be seen as a curse because only a few find success at the end of the tunnel. I'm sure the two of you understand this well. My question is, how do you know if you should risk it and go the path you are passionate about, maybe to only find out that you, in the end, were not as passionate as you thought you were? How do you know it is what you want, or are you only dreaming about the nice things once you are successful? I'm a student studying abroad in Germany. I've just finished my undergraduate studies and want to become a fighter. My ultimate goal is to become a trainer. I tend to be kind and compassionate towards others. Therefore, I think being a trainer will be very fulfilling for me. But you must practice what you preach, so I will be fighting to gather as much experience as I can before I can become a coach. I tried to keep everything as short as possible. Thank you for your time. I very much appreciate your help and truly happy that humans like you exist. Aw.
We love you.
Thank you.
I think you should go be a fucking fighter.
So considerate.
And honestly, I am only concerned about one thing that you have brought up here. And that is that you say you want to be a coach, but I feel like you're a very modest person.
Like you want to be a fighter, but you're saying you just want to be a
coach? You're being more practical, perhaps, than you want to be.
Mm.
Because you're afraid of judgment, maybe. And maybe I got this way wrong, by the way, but I feel like you want to be a fucking fighter and you want to go out there and win and you want to maybe be known for it. And you know what? I say you should. I say you should go for that part because I think that's what you really want. That's what I think.
Well, it sounds like his path is like become a fighter, become a well-known fighter, and then that way you can coach and people will believe you.
Fuck yeah, but I heard him talk more about coaching than about kicking fucking ass.
Right.
And I think that's what he actually wants to do.
Maybe.
That's what I posit.
Maybe.
It's my theory.
Maybe. I'm going to take it as is.
But I think he should do it full bore.
For sure. And either way, you have to be a fighter first before becoming
exactly.
a coach.
So what's the next step,
either
right?
Either way, you're going to pursue fighting.
Become obsessed with it.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that you
wake up
do.
Thinking about it, go yep. to bed thinking about it.
That's it. You're not worried about coaching later because you're going to fight tomorrow and the next day and the next day.
One thing that helped me, especially in kind of these non-traditional career paths where it's very quote unquote risky and people are like, there's a low success rate and blah, blah, blah. It's because there's not really like a distinct path. Like if you want to become a doctor, you go to school for X amount of years, you go to a good med school, you go apply to be a doctor, you become a doctor. Like it's like pretty yeah. clear path.
There's literally an ending where you yeah. get handed a thing that says you're a doctor.
And you like there's clear steps to yeah. becoming a doctor. Yeah. Like you open up, you know, you go to medical school, all that stuff. It's outlined for you. In these sort of careers, there's no manual, and the people that like get there, they didn't all follow the same path, especially with entertainment, you know, everyone got in a different way. So what's hard and what makes it risky and there's a low success rate is that people just don't know exactly like how to do it, and then they're turned off by the low success rate too. Yeah.
And how long do I do it for?
I would just keep believing in yourself, be obsessed. Also, have a game plan, but be flexible for it to not go exactly as planned and be open to like other ways that it could happen. And then also, just because you're basically your own boss and like you don't have homework, you're not in school where they're like, these assignments are due, and you're not like at work where they're like, you'll get fired if you don't do this. You have to like really be disciplined in like working toward that dream every day. So I would journal, like at the end of every day, list all of the things you did to get one step closer to that career.
Love that.
And read it. And if you go through the day and you're like, shit, I'm not gonna have anything to write at the end of the day in my journal, then you'll get motivated to do something, anything. Even if it's little, like I bought new boxing gloves or whatever it is. Like I signed up for
jiu-jitsu. Or
yeah.
Or fucking surround yourself with people who do this too, right? If you're in jiu-jitsu, you'll have probably jiu-jitsu friends that you hang out with.
Yeah, they say you become the average of the five people you spend the most time with.
So fucking hang out with those people. Mm-hmm. Listen to the podcast while you're working out about fucking fighting.
Yeah.
You know, like you're just
in
that.
Be consumed
with
it.
You're in that world, man. You got to go. It's time for you to go bye-bye into that world.
And if at the end of the day, because one of your questions was like, what if you do it and then you find out you weren't as passionate as you thought you were? Then you'll know. You'll know for sure. Because I think what's worse than trying something and realizing either A, you're not that passionate about it, or B, you failed at doing something you're passionate about, is C, getting to the end of your life with all these what ifs.
Exactly.
Like wondering maybe what could have happened.
You do get in the octagon one day and your first fight, you get knocked out in the first 30 seconds by some phenom. Okay? But at least you got in the ring. Nobody else. Look, more people didn't.
Yeah. Right?
Don't you want to be one of the people who did?
And I just want to know. I guess like at the end of the day, what kept me going is like, I just need to know like what happens if I pursue this route. Like what if I make it? That's best case scenario, is that I do exactly how I think my dream job will be. Or worst case scenario is that I go a different route because either I didn't like it anymore or I couldn't make it at that. And then I would know, at least I would know that's what happened when I went that way.
Worst case scenario, you're in like the next Kimbo Slice's highlight reel, but at least you're fucking in it.
Who's Kimbo Slice?
He's a very famous fighter.
Oh, right. I knew that.
Yeah.
I knew who that is.
At least you're in the highlight reel.
In the motherfucking highlight reel.
Yeah. You're getting knocked out, but, cause it was a very quick knockout, but you're in it. How many other people can say they are?
And I would say be patient too. A lot of people give up at like the first obstacle or rejection or whatever. Keep going. Like really have the mindset of, this is what my acting coach told me, and I'll never forget it. This is exactly how I approach everything now, is I'm doing this forever until I'm not. Which means like you have that level of commitment that you're like, I'm going to do this forever. Like this is where I am. I'm doing this forever. And then if one day you're not, then you're not. But like you can't think about that. You have to be in the mindset of, I'm going to do this forever.
And for me, before I do anything, I always say this to myself. Absolutely true. I do this before I perform in anything. I say, this is all you ever wanted to do. Now show them why.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's important to me. And sometimes, you know, that sucks because I go in there and I'm like, I don't feel like I showed them why. Right. But at least I'm going in there every time with the plan of attacking it so that I can show them why. That's all. That's a personal thing for me.
I love that. Yeah. So good luck out there. Don't give up.
Good luck. Well, I believe in you. I genuinely believe in
you. Yeah. 100%. If you are passionate, you're just fight in your life like you would in the ring.
Fight like there's people in your corner, because there is.
Yeah.
I mean that. I'm not kidding. So good luck to you.
This one's titled, Warning, Another Relationship Question.
I love it. It's fine.
We do actually really like the relationship questions, because at least I feel like I could offer insight in it rather than something I have no idea about.
And please stop sending all these crypto questions in too. It's really frustrating.
Steve. Read through all these crypto questions. Crypto questions. We haven't found one yet, but I know they're coming in at a rapid rate.
Well, you can stop now because, they're coming fast.
Okay. This one goes, hi, Nikki, the icebreaker, and Steve, the Iceman. Breaker, 1, 2, 3. Check him in. I love you guys.
Can't believe that stuck.
I love you guys so much. I admire your relationship with one another and love the wisdom you guys offer on this podcast. Oh my God, we love you too. Thank you so much. So, quick recap. My boyfriend and I have been together for 4 years now. Like every couple, we had our fair share of ups and downs. Lately, he and I got into an argument, which left the both of us hurt. He said that we both needed some time apart. He told me that his feelings for me have not changed and that he still has a future with me, but he needs time apart. I just want to know what the difference between time apart is and having a break. Have you guys ever had time apart and or a break?
Does he want to fuck people?
Thank you in advance for your wisdom. Much love, Jess from down on. I don't know.
Time apart sounds like fuck people.
Oh, time apart sounds like space to me, because that would be the difference that I say is like time apart and on a break.
True.
Time apart sounds like I just need space.
Huh. What was the argument?
Having a break is like, I don't want to fuck other people. But I mean, maybe sometimes like you just need to clear your head.
Yeah.
Like maybe when we were going through our shit and fighting and stuff like we were talking about earlier, if we didn't have space to like cool off and like analyze whether it was our partner or whether it was something that we were projecting, maybe like we would have blamed each other and like decided that was really it and broken up.
Yeah.
So sometimes people need space.
But time apart's like days, like
yeah, I don't
weeks.
Know how long.
Yeah, because I don't know. I'm a little concerned about
it. It does sound like he's got 1 foot out the door.
It does. It's almost like he's setting the deck.
They've been together for 4 years. Yeah.
I think he might be setting the deck on you. I know that pit in your stomach just provided you. I'm sorry. But yeah, I don't know what kind of a partner looks forward to walking away from somebody for a certain amount of time if it's not to set the deck for that.
Well, I mean, this happened in the first year, not 4 years into our relationship, but when you were like, I need a break or whatever, it's almost like an irrational, like this person's pissing me off so much, I just need a break, you know?
Exactly. But it was...
But you didn't mean it.
I didn't mean it at all.
But that wasn't 4 years.
I didn't even give you 5 minutes. How about that? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I, that's why I'm a little... Look, not everybody's the same, obviously. Some people are different. But
I'm just trying to play devil's advocate because it really does feel like he's got 1 foot out the door.
That's
and
my
like
gut, right? But I could be dead wrong.
But I'm just trying to explore all possible.
But I am an expert, so I'm trying to give my expert advice.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, maybe there's a part of him. See, I don't know. For me, all it means is confusion, right? If he needs to have a part, then he's confused about something.
Yes.
And that's not a good sign.
Yeah. Yeah, because like you should know. And 4 years in, you know me. You know
exactly.
Who I am. I mean, we got married on our 4-year anniversary.
Exactly.
So
well, the day before, but yeah.
Day after. Yeah.
To correct you.
Excuse you.
That's how you gaslight. That's how you gaslight.
Excuse you.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. Yeah. It does sound like he's trying to.
I'm sorry.
Start the breakup
sucks,
process.
Yeah.
It's like the first step. Like ripping off the Band-Aid wasn't.
He wasn't ready to make the actual move.
Exactly. So he's just
kind of
weaning it
off. He's working you into it, which is kind of more dickish, frankly.
I mean, it's more on his part. Yeah, exactly. He's more like cowardly if that's what he's trying to do. Or maybe he's not sure.
Maybe.
I don't know. But
okay, here's my counterpoint to that.
Okay.
Maybe he's dealing with some shit that we don't know about. Right.
Maybe.
He personally is dealing with some shit that we have no clue about.
Right.
And he's got to work on himself in some way where he needed to be absconded.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps.
Benefit of the doubt, that's the...
That's my benefit of the doubt
best
story.
Best case scenario.
Yeah. He's got some shit he's got to work through. For some reason, he has to be in solitude about it. Don't understand that, but that could very well be.
Yeah.
But I think your partner should know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it does sound like it's going to an end. I'm sorry. You know, go with some girlfriends. Rent your favorite, or not rent your favorite, but what in the 90s? Download your favorite
rent
movie.
Rent your favorite movie on VHS.
Find your favorite movie and play it. I don't know. Good luck out there.
What is this? The Christmas Story? Are you Good kicking her down there. The slide? Ho, ho, ho. Fucking Nikki
no,
Limo.
No, it's like I could see the ending coming and I'm just like, oh, I'm sorry. You just pad yourself as much as possible. But
ho,
just...
ho, ho, ho.
Bye.
Down the slide you go. Oh, poor gal. Listen, honestly, if this is not the person, your person.
Yeah.
Okay. You need somebody who's going to be with you thick and thin no matter what. Up and down, bottom line, right?
Exactly.
Not somebody who's like,
I need a break. I need some time apart.
I don't know. I think that's a little whack, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, just take this time to focus on you and do your own thing and just see what happens, I guess. Or if you're just like, hey, line in the sand, I should be treated better than this. Like, I deserve a partner that treats me better, that knows they want to be with me. Then you can be the one to break up with him and, you know, really set your boundaries that way.
True. Or like, if this is him just working on his own thing, then next time he needs to let you know what
that.
The fuck's going on.
Exactly.
Because that's not chill. And now you're like worried about all kinds of things that you didn't even need to be worried about.
You can't be in limbo.
Nah, man.
You can't let people put you in limbo.
Torture.
Yeah. That's not fair. All right. Well, good luck out there.
Hey, try adopting some kitties. We've been having quite a time.
Oh, yeah. Adopt some kitties. Or foster some kitties.
Yeah, foster some.
Okay, this one's titled Lonely Doc. Okay. I don't know what that means yet. Nikki, I love you so much. I've been a fan since your Rihanna Umbrella Ella video skit. Holy shit. That was a long time. Do you know about that?
No.
So that was the video that went viral on MySpace when I first...
That video.
I guess became an influencer before an influencer was a thing.
Wow.
It was a MySpace viral video. But wow, that was like 2007.
Wow.
I've been rooting for you since those times. Thank you so much. Wow, what a lifer. Slap it high. And I'm so happy you're doing well. Steve, you seem like such a genuine guy and I enjoy hearing your perspectives on life.
Thank you.
Too bad you didn't have a viral MySpace video.
I had a couple viral videos. You should check them out.
They were way later.
Sex in Public, Craig Gone Sexual.
That was way later.
Okay, yeah. Damn.
Okay. So, I want your advice on my incredible lack of self-confidence. It's centered around me never having been in a relationship. Quick background, I'm in my late 20s. I'm gay. I'm somewhat of a late bloomer when it comes to my sexuality. I came out at 18. I didn't have my first kiss till I was 22. Wow.
Wow.
I went on my first date at 23. Didn't lose my virginity until 23. Since then, I've been on my fair share of dates and hookups, but I can't seem to find someone that wants to be committed long term. For some reason, it's making me have very low self-esteem. I can't help but to get a little envious when I see a gay couple walking down the street holding hands, or when I see those gay couples on Instagram sharing their lovely life experiences online.
They're not happy.
It's worse when I'm on dating apps because I always stumble upon someone in an open/committed relationship and they're looking for a third. Like, I can't even find the one person. And you're out there looking for another one. Coronavirus at times has made things even more isolating. I started a job as a freshly minted doctor in a big city.
Congrats.
And my schedule is really packed. People are also reasonably nervous about meeting up during these times. So I'm sure people get nervous when they find out I'm a physician. As a result, I've been on zero dates and I feel extra lonely because
Holy
of these
shit.
Circumstances.
I didn't even think of that.
I know.
So as
a doctor,
you're obviously around patients all the time who maybe have COVID. Holy fucking
So you kind
shit.
Of like have to date another doctor or like a nurse or something.
Whoa.
My life is going great otherwise. I have a stable job, great and supportive friends, lots of achievements to be proud of, but I can't seem to shake off this feeling that I'm undesirable because I never had a boyfriend. Any advice for this lonely guy? You know what?
It hasn't been the right match yet.
Yeah, I just stick it out. I think it's just a patience game. It's a patience game right now.
Nice pun.
I didn't even mean to.
Loved it.
Thank you. I know. You love puns so much.
Top 10 pun.
Of course you would notice that. It is. Yeah. It's like, I think sometimes we have a timeline in our minds for ourselves. Not sometimes. Most people have this timeline.
I was supposed to be at this time. I was supposed to be this. I was supposed to have 3 kids.
And when you don't fulfill that timeline, there's like, I don't know if it's like your inner child thinking you failed or something, or like you just societal pressure, but you really don't have a timeline. Like, that doesn't exist. Like, you're creating that limit for yourself. And so just think of it like, yo, if you're happy in every other aspect of your life, it's like, yo, I'm cool with being this forever. And then just like, it keeps you open for the right person to come along rather than clinging to the first person that gives you attention, which will happen if you're desperate or if you're coming off desperate. Or
you might not
even
know you're coming off desperate, but that's your energy.
But you still have that timeline in your mind. So in your head, you're like, this has to work out. It puts a pressure there that doesn't need to be there.
Are we going
to
be committed to each other?
Yeah.
And maybe, and I'm not saying that you're being weird or anything.
It's good that you know you don't want a person that's like looking for a third, or like you have your boundaries. You want someone that's going to be committed. You want someone that has the same values as you, maybe the same life path goals. But I would just try to get rid of that pressure as much as possible.
Don't hit the brakes. Just ease up on the accelerator a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. That's all. That's all you need to do. You've done a lot, by the way. There's plenty of reason for people to desire you.
Yeah.
You're a fucking doctor, bro.
Like, yeah, and you've support, like you said, you have supportive friends, lots of achievements to be proud of. A lot of people might be in a relationship, but they feel like they haven't done shit with their life. Like,
they're not a doctor.
You're like, I don't have a career. I don't have a stable job. I don't have no monies.
Exactly.
So, you know, everyone kind of has their own cards that they're dealt, but I think that eventually, if you're all working on it and you're working on yourself, it'll happen for you.
And sometimes during, like, you know, when we were going through our breakups.
Yeah.
It's a very cliche phrase now because of the fucking Batman movie, but the night is always darkest just before the dawn, right? So it's like, this is kind of the dark point that you're pushing through, but then the light comes. And so I just feel like that's what happened for us. That's what happened to a lot of my friends. And it's just when you're in this moment where you're like, there's no way I'm going to meet somebody. They come out of nowhere.
Yeah. And it's when you're working on yourself, though. I know that sounds cliche, too. Yeah. But, you know, going from having really low self-esteem in my old relationship because it was just bad, it was toxic and stuff, to being single and feeling like, oh, I'm just never going to find anyone. I think the thing that helped me the most, and I may have been doing this subconsciously, was just, like, finding out what I like about me. Like, really falling in love with yourself, like, yeah, finding things that you like about you, and then that helps you feel like you have value and that you won't settle on something, and you know exactly what you're looking for and you know what you bring to the table. And it sounds like you do know, like, you know, you have supportive friends, you are, like, you have lots of achievements, you're a doctor, it's like you have a stable job, you know, like, you're bringing stuff to the table. So just focus on that, like, focus on what you like about you.
Also, look around, man. Look at how fucking crazy everybody is, okay? Like,
yeah,
give yourself a little
year.
Bit of credit here. You're like, oh, well, everyone must see something about me. It's like, no.
People are going through their own shit right now.
Yeah, people are fucking whack, dude.
Yeah.
Like, it's not you. Like, just because you're like, well, you know, nobody, I didn't have a boyfriend a long time, all this stuff. You went through some shit. You came out the other end. You're a fucking doctor. You're an out and proud person. You got nothing to be scared of right now.
Yeah, it does seem like the timeline thing is holding, because, yeah, you do list off, I was a late bloomer, I was late at this, I was late at this, I was late at this.
Yeah, you don't criticize yourself.
You weren't late, you were just on time.
Exactly, you found it at the right moment that, you know, you arrived, you have arrived.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
And honestly, like, I was speaking from someone that was kind of a late bloomer, like really socially late bloomer, I feel like I'm now discovering things that maybe people discovered for themselves when they were 5 years younger than me. So I think it keeps me younger.
Dude, I know a guy who has a low body count. No, I'm not talking about me. I have a low body count as well.
You do.
And I'm talking about partners.
It was like he's pretty much a virgin.
Okay, it's low, folks. But I'm not a virgin. I'll have you know. This woman has been pounded regularly by me.
That's true.
But he constantly thinks about all the potential pussy he could have had, frankly. That's mm-hmm. how he puts it. And that's all the guy thinks about, is what he doesn't have.
Yeah.
Instead of looking at his life and seeing what he has,
yeah,
he looks at all the shit he doesn't have.
And it cost him a lot of
stuff.
Yeah.
And so
he lost a lot of good people in his lives and, you know, friends, relationships, because he was constantly looking at what he doesn't have.
And it's just not the way to live your life, right? I think you have so much to look at and go, I got all this shit going for me. People are fucking nuts. Don't look at the way that, you know, you were in relationships and shit, but they didn't become relationships, as something you did wrong. It just wasn't the right timing, right? Look at all the shit you do have. I think you're going to be more than
Think of how much ass you kick as a doctor. Like, you kick an ass.
Fuck yeah.
And when you just, like, recognize that in yourself, that's attractive. It's, like, really attractive to, like, just watch someone in their element doing what they do and be good at what they do.
But it's time to give yourself the credit that you're not giving yourself right now.
Yeah.
You're looking at yourself and going, I see flaws, 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 and I don't see them, frankly.
You're looking in the mirror and going, ew, but you should be going, hey.
See? So good luck out there.
Good luck out
Let
there.
Let us know how it goes.
Ho, ho, ho.
Down the slide.
All right, one last question. This has gone really fast. Thank you for all your questions.
Thank you.
I had to sift through all these cryptocurrency questions, so.
Wait, and just read one.
There isn't any. I was just kidding.
I see.
Okay, so this one's titled either I'm an insecure little bitch or hey, Nikki and Steve. Massive fan of the show and everything else you guys do. I managed to binge listen to the whole show in about a month, LOL. Wow.
Holy shit. Thank
you. Thank you. Yes. Thanks for listening. You guys have really shed some light on topics I never really thought about and helped me see different points of view on issues I've had. Great. All things aside, I need some advice. Okay. I found out my boyfriend has an OnlyFans account and has been paying for content for a few months now. How I found out was I was snooping through his phone. Yes, I'm aware that was wrong. In defense, I have full access to his phone. He's given me permission. And I was trying to take a picture of our cat doing some cute shit. Now, if you're wondering why, my camera phone is broken and his is way better quality anyways. I've taken pictures on his phone multiple times. And this one time, he left his account open on screen. I don't mind that he watches porn, but something about OnlyFans seems a little bit more intimate to me. I feel like I'm being cheated on a bit. I don't know if I should confront him about it. Am I just being an insecure little bitch, or am I in the right for feeling this way? Any insight you have would be great. Background, we've been together for over 2 years, met on Tinder. We've never had an issue like this before, and I'm his first long-term serious girlfriend. We've both been through a string of toxic relationships before we met, and both have been very aware of how we talk and treat each other. I don't know if this will help, but I'm a Capricorn 24 and he's an Aquarius 27.
That helps. That's everything.
Well, there you go. That's your problem.
Break up. Hit the button, Mark. Break up. That's not a good mix.
Thanks, Nikki and Steve. Much love to you both. Yeah, I think the astrology's fine. I'm just going to call it there. Astrology's fine. I think that...
So that was an ironic breakup? Can we clean that up, Mark? We'll clean that up.
Can you play it in reverse?
Yeah, we're going to do the ironic breakup. Okay.
So I feel... Tell me if you feel different. This is his first serious relationship. Yeah. Single guys that haven't been in serious relationships, they're just in their minds, it takes them a while to adjust.
And for sure.
So if he watched porn and stuff and did OnlyFans or like even cam girls or whatever before predated OnlyFans, like they just kind of do the same thing without thinking about it.
Can you help me understand the OnlyFans thing real quick?
Sure. Okay. This is like the blind... teaching the blind though, because like I don't know that much about it.
Well, right, but yeah, I know you're surrounded by girls who know about it. Like,
so
is it? Do they know you're watching it?
Yeah.
Oh, so the person who's so if I'm doing jerk off vids, I know that Nikki Lima's watching my jerk off vids.
Oh, do they know their followers?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think it's like a Patreon, but like for porn.
Oh.
Basically.
Right. So that's been my understanding of
it. Like you have patrons, you have people like subscribing to you.
So she feels like it's cheating because
it's like a person. Instead of it being like
a real person.
It's like if an influencer just did porn on their thing and like you get to know their personality. Like so people are like
I see.
Subscribing because like yeah, there's a lot of people that do porn, but like they like this one particular person.
Yes, yes, yes.
So you're subscribing to that person.
Oh, yeah, that is weird.
Yeah, so like, I can understand.
I only watch this person. Like, I have a crush on them or whatever.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, like, I don't know. I've never been a guy, and, like, sometimes guys have described it like kind of like how I really like Eminem. Like, it's not like I want to fuck him, but, like, I follow everything he does, you know?
Everything.
But I don't, he doesn't have OnlyFans.
If he did, she would have it.
Maybe because I'd feel kind of left out of the fandom if I didn't.
I know.
That's kind of the only reason.
She would feel like she's not a legit fan.
Yeah.
If she wasn't watching it and then beat off on OnlyFans.
I'm just trying to like, I always try to look at benefit of the doubt first because the obvious thing is like, what a piece of shit, you know? But like,
yeah, no,
I think
fair.
I think I try to be fair to the other side.
But if it hurts you, I would talk to him.
Yes,
it.
Absolutely. That's what I was going to say.
No, you weren't.
I was.
No, you weren't.
Yes, I was.
That was my idea.
No, I was thinking it too. I just hadn't gotten there.
No,
it
was my idea. Okay. I said it first.
But I really was thinking it.
Did you see that, Mark? Did you see how I did that, Mark? You saw us
I
first, right, Mark?
Say
you saw
it.
Us first. Yeah. See, he saw.
Anyways, you should definitely bring it up to him. Tell him that it hurts you. Because even if, let's say, that's ridiculous. Like, all guys have OnlyFans or whatever. It doesn't matter. He's with you.
Let that be that chick then.
Yeah, exactly.
That doesn't care.
It hurts your feelings.
Yeah.
And so you bring it up and you say, yo, maybe even with a light touch, with a light approach, don't come with an attacky, you know, type of malicious approach, but come to him and be like, yo, I know I don't have any trust issues with you. I don't think you're cheating on me or anything like that, but this feels that way to me or of the similar vein and it hurts my feelings because of it. And I don't know if you were aware that this hurts me, but it does. And I, I really don't feel comfortable with you continuing to have this.
Masterfully put. I have no notes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then if he gets defensive and is like, what? I want to keep jacking off to this girl.
I got a jacket. Babe, I got a jacket.
I don't watch her for her tits. I watch her because she says interesting stuff.
She goes on really cool rants.
Yeah. She's good political viewpoints, and I learned a lot about it.
Yeah.
You know, whatever his arguments are, I would say, like, just, you know, try to just let him say whatever he has to say about it. But in the end, if he's going to choose that over your feelings, then that's really disrespectful to you, and that's not going to be good for a relationship.
So that's when you got more of an answer, right?
Yeah.
If you're like, yo, this isn't going to fly, and then he's kind of like, well, fuck you.
Yeah, and you're like, yo, you can watch porn, you can do whatever, but like subscribing to a person feels a little
it's
bit...
It's a boundary you don't want
to
break.
It's almost like if you could, you would get with her instead of me.
Yeah.
That's what it would feel like to me.
But isn't... Okay, so what if I liked a particular porn person? And I only watch that porn.
See, that's
person.
What I'm saying.
Is that the same thing?
That's where the line gets blurry for me. Because, like, is it a fandom where you're like, you know, I'm watching porn anyway, but I just prefer this girl because she moans better than this girl.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess that's where the discussion.
Well, it's probably because. See, this is I have such.
But
lack
also,
of-
okay, I would be mad that he's spending money on it too, because okay. I'm like, okay, let's say you like a certain porn actress, but. Like, you're spending money on her. Like,
maybe,
instead
maybe
of
OnlyFans, though, I'm saying I have a lack of understanding of OnlyFans insofar as, do they, like, talk about other shit, or are they
yeah,
just...
Yeah, you don't... Well, you don't have to post porn or nude pictures, but I'm guessing if she's getting this offended, that...
It's both.
It's probably porn or pictures, nude pictures and stuff. But yeah, people use it to do feet pics. And people use it to, like...
I feel like if I found out that you were communicating with somebody like this... That I'd be like, what the fuck?
Like, what do you mean? Like messages or what?
Or like just this kind of thing. I think if you were like subscribed to somebody's OnlyFans.
Yeah.
And he's like some just dude.
Yeah, who like strips
like in Calabasas.
And like whips his dick around all the time and it's
yeah.
sexy.
I'd be like, what the why?
And I'm giving him money personally. Like,
yeah,
it's not
that,
like
yeah,
I'm watching sucks. A movie, like a production company did a thing and like it's actors. It's like I'm part of I'm giving him direct money.
No.
Yeah, that's when it feels weird.
I don't like it.
Yeah. I don't like it either.
I don't like that cock swinger in Calabasas.
I mean, he's really hot.
I don't care.
He likes animals.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Kind?
Dogs.
I love dogs.
Me too. I don't have them, but...
Send me a link.
Okay. Right. He likes all kinds of dogs too.
Yeah, really? What about Weimaraners?
Huskies. He hasn't mentioned it.
Oh, okay.
But I'll
ask him for me.
I'll ask.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's part of my tier. I get to like ask questions.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in
access.
My tier. Yeah.
Wow.
And he responds directly to me. So.
Oh, that's cool, man.
Kind of
wow.
cute.
That's
yeah.
lucky.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would feel shitty about it. So, but I just try to come from a neutral ground of like, yo, I just want to talk about this with you.
Exactly.
And then. You know, if things escalate from there, then you can kind of decide.
The way you approached it to us, by the way,
yeah.
is no different than the way
seems
you
seems like
probably,
you're self-aware.
Yeah, I would approach it the same way to him.
I agree.
I think you handled it really well to us. Like, you don't sound like you're fucking freaking out over there.
Yeah. And if he gets all defensive, then break up.
Break up.
And we're going to end our show there because it's been an hour. Wow.
Wow.
That went fast.
Very quick.
Didn't that feel fast?
A fast hour.
Thanks for asking fast questions, guys. And thanks for listening. Some of you back from 13 years ago, holy shit, am I that old? I feel like I'm 13.
MySpace is that old. It's not you.
MySpace is so old.
It's not you.
I got a MySpace when I was 2005, too. So that was like two years into MySpace.
I did, too.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Some of you don't even know what we're talking about. You don't even know. You have no idea.
And they don't care to know.
But you've never seen a Blockbuster card in your life.
And they shouldn't have to because it's boring.
I want everyone to have the same experiences as me.
Exactly. This is how I feel about fathers
yeah.
who post on Reddit, like Reddit gaming, and like, I'm raising them right. And they have a little kid playing Mario Brothers.
Mario Brothers.
When all his fucking friends, he's playing like 8-bit Mario Brothers, his fucking
friends are playing Fortnite or something.
Yeah, it's like, just let him play Fortnite. It looks way sicker, you asshole.
Yeah, Warzone, that's the one everyone's playing
now. Yeah, play that Warzone out there.
Play that Warzone out there.
There you go.
Good luck out there, everybody.
Good luck out there. We
ho,
love you guys.
Ho, ho, ho.
Down the slide. Bye, guys.
Rate us on iTunes, please. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, and follow our Patreon. Thank you.
Thank you.